live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Hey, hey, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going live. Yeah, yeah, we going. Yeah, 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 we going. Yeah, 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 we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live. From the 50-yard line, we going live.
Hello, beautiful people.
Hello, hello, hello.
I am Jared, the football genius Burgess.
And I am Stephanie Fitzpatrick, aka the Advantage Coach.
This is episode 173 of the Field to the Real podcast. And for time and purposes, we're going to jump right into who's really right.
Okay, let's go.
All right, so you, like myself, have seen what the new England Patriots have looked like over the past few years since the departure of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And they've been a middle of the road, middling sort of team.
Yep.
And I'm not sure about your perspective on this, but I think that I expected a little more out of Bill Belichick. And I think part of me was like, well, he just needs a little bit of time. He has to retool. He's lost a Hall of Fame quarterback, the GOAT for most people.
Oh, okay.
Well, you know who our GOAT is. I'm just saying, I'm acknowledging that he is somebody's GOAT.
Yes.
Or a lot of people's GOAT, actually.
A lot of people's GOAT, yes.
But, you know, Belichick, he gets referred to as the GOAT of coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And so, all of the Super Bowls that he has won with Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady has won a Super Bowl without him, mm-hmm. thus solidifying in a lot of people's mind.
And close to another one. Yeah.
It was close to another one.
Mm-hmm.
And so, well, I don't know how close he was to the second, but.
Well, closer than Bill Belichick was. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, no, for certain. I don't know that they were ever in danger of beating the Rams last year. I know people talk about that comeback, but I don't think I was ever like worried.
Yeah.
But could we still consider Bill Belichick the GOAT of coaches if he does not win a Super Bowl without Tom Brady?
As much as it pains me to say, because I am not a fan.
Mm-hmm.
We can't take away from what he accomplished, regardless of how he did it.
Mm-hmm.
I personally feel like he probably could not be middle of the road, and they could be better. This whole GOAT thing is so hard, because does GOAT mean that you are the best at it, or are you the greatest to ever do it? You get what I mean? And
right. So
GOAT is different than best to me.
I'm with you on that. I'm with you.
Okay. Because I feel like the part that could have solidified him as GOAT, and while I do believe he is, I think that what could have curtailed any debate from anybody about it being about Tom Brady is, here's the part where being the best comes into play for me. And that is, the best coaches know how to make adjustments with who they have as personnel.
Right.
And I thought long and hard about this after I saw you put this up here, because instinctually I want to go against what I know to be true, right? I know that he is the GOAT in the mind of most, And so I will say he's solidified himself as GOAT regardless, just because of statistics. My issue is the person, the coach, the human being, right? Not the stats. And that's when I say if he could have solidified it, had he been able to do better than with a Mac Jones, who is not Tom Brady, had you been able to put your ego and pride to the side, that's all this is about, really, to make adjustments based on your personnel, even when you had Cam Newton. Had you been able to not try to make somebody, force somebody to fit into a system, but adjust your coaching, then you would have solidified it in probably everybody's mind, even without winning a Super Bowl, that you were the GOAT, because they would have seen you be the best at coaching. What you've done is solidified yourself statistically because you were the best, you had the best system for a particular person. I told you, I thought a lot about this.
Yeah, no.
But you solidified yourself as the GOAT only on stats, though. I'm just gonna say that. Because Gino Auriemma came to my mind as one of the best.
Yeah.
Because he understood that he needed to make adjustments based on his personnel.
Okay.
And that's why, even though he might not have won a national championship, you know, they might not have won consistently, they were still beyond mediocre, even after he lost some really big names along the way. Maya left. And then you had, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you were continually above average.
Right. Well, I think, especially with college sports, that's going to continue to perpetuate it. So I went with somebody else to compare him to. I went with somebody else in the pro ranks because I feel like, or at least it's supposed to be, I feel like free agency is the great equalizer.
Yes.
In college sports.
Even for college now.
You get the pick of the litter with college sports, especially being somebody like Gino Auriemma. Who's going to always get the...
No, that's why he ain't winning like that, though. It ain't that way no more.
Well, I still think that I think that now there has been a little bit of a shift.
Yeah.
But the top 100 players in the country, he's going to get his pick of those. Yep. You look at some other teams who probably won't get one player out of that top 100. But it's different in the NBA where you have free agency and you can attract players to, you know, because based off of how you can pay them and stuff like that. So
right. The
coach that I associated this conversation with was, Lord, his name just escaped me. No, it's okay. The head coach of the Bulls and the Lakers. Pat Riley is who keeps coming to my mind, but it's not Pat Riley. It's Phil Jackson.
I'm thinking, are you saying Phil Jackson?
Saying Phil Jackson, but Pat Riley just kept coming to mind. So
yeah.
I'm going to make this short and sweet.
He's a master at it, though. You're right.
So we saw Phil Jackson won with the Bulls.
Yep.
Left the Bulls, won with the Lakers.
Yep.
Now, while some people may make the argument he won with two superstars, my argument always for LeBron being a GOAT is that with Phil Jackson having won championships with both the Lakers and the Bulls, he's solidified as one of the GOAT coaches in the NBA, right?
Yes.
He's on that Mount Rushmore of the top four coaches in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
I think that until Bill Belichick wins a Super Bowl without Tom Brady, we can't put him up there because when removing a variable, right? So the variable of Bill Belichick was removed from Tom Brady and he still won.
Yes.
When removing the variable of Tom Brady from Bill Belichick, if he can't still win, then one of the things that people's minds is going to be, how great of a coach Is he? And did he only win because Tom Brady? We saw Tom Brady leave and go win somewhere else.
Yes.
Bill Belichick has to do that in order to, in my opinion, in order to be considered the GOAT. And while you can't take away his accomplishments, just like for me, when I make the conversation about Jordan, you know, and I won't go deep into that, but in making that conversation about Jordan, he won after he got Phil, did not win before, and did not win after. And so I feel like when you speak about them, when you speak about Jordan, and I feel like a lot of people for whatever reason don't connect this, is that he had Phil Jackson, which now Phil Jackson is linked to Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. And all of the championships that Kobe won was with Phil Jackson. So that speaks to more of the greatness of Phil Jackson. You know, Belichick can't brag about that, because when he was with the Cleveland Browns, he flamed out. He got with the Patriots, and by all accounts, he did not want to play Tom Brady, even though people said that Tom Brady was the better-looking quarterback over Drew Bledsoe.
Drew Bledsoe, yeah.
And it took for Drew Bledsoe to get hurt for Tom Brady to play.
Yep.
You know, and so I would say now he has to do it without Tom Brady. For me, in my mind, to say, all right, yeah, he's the guy.
So this makes me think we have to have another conversation possibly next week then, because who is the GOAT in the NFL?
Bill Walsh.
If he's not.
Walsh.
Okay. Well, I guess we don't have to have the conversation next week.
Yeah. I still think that we can go through, like, we could talk about Tomlin, even though Tomlin hasn't enjoyed some of Mike Tomlin, even though he doesn't have like the accomplishments, and that's this is the one I was trying to get when you said the difference between being the best and being the GOAT.
Yeah.
In my mind, it's the difference between being the most accomplished, right? Mm-hmm. And being the best. Because Robert Horry has 8 championships, right? But we don't consider him a GOAT.
We don't.
And we're gonna talk about him a little later. Bill Russell has 11 in 13 years.
Yeah. But we do now. He get his props, though. But I mean, he don't be in that GOAT conversation.
He don't be in that conversation, right? You know what I'm saying? And so he is the most accomplished. He has 11 championship rings.
Right.
11. But then the people who want to make the arguments for, who they want to make the arguments for in the GOAT conversation, they somehow use the times to diminish his accomplishments.
Yeah, the difference in this. Yeah, but
that's a whole rabbit hole to go down.
Yeah, we won't do that. So I guess if we just put it out there, guys, I'm saying he is painfully as much as it pains me. He is.
He's the GOAT.
He's the GOAT. I don't know. Yeah, he's the GOAT.
I'm saying he still needs to add to his resume. Because when you remove variables, you know, I don't know that this resume stacks up. Because Walsh won with Joe Montana and Steve Young.
Yeah. No, I'm not denying that that's true, but I don't think if we just how these people on TikTok get out in the street and just randomly ask people questions, that's not who's gonna come to their mind. If you just say who's the GOAT, who's the GOAT?
I doubt it.
Coach, it's not gonna be him.
Mm-mm. I feel like for a lot of people, it's gonna be Belichick.
Yeah,
especially the people inside of New England. Now the people outside of New England, and so in some of the conversations I've had, they feel the same way about Brady and Belichick, and it's typically those people who love Tom Brady.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well,
we know I love neither, so.
Yeah, I'm like, neither one of them gets my heart, so we're totally not being
biased in this
conversation. Like, if anything, it's probably the opposite. It's hard to even have it, right? But, let us know.
Right. Real good topics.
Yeah.
All right, now, I feel like we've spent a lot of time on KD. And not necessarily on this podcast, because we had 4 weeks where we
Five.
We got to touch on them. 5 weeks, excuse me.
Yeah.
Where we got to touch on them. Or 5 weeks where we weren't in.
Did
there,
not.
But we got to touch on them mentally.
Yeah. God,
and yeah. Then having to speak about them last week and then again this week. And
we're
talking about
now. But this is the answer to our question from last week.
Right. Because we wanted to know what was going on. And so it was answered this week after his meeting with Joe Tsai, who is the... who is the owner of the Brooklyn Nets. And so he gave them an ultimatum, and he said that either the GM and the head coach go or I go. I don't understand what's going on here. And it's probably not meant for me to understand, at least not at the moment. But I just don't get how last year you made the decision, I'm going to sign this extension. And maybe it's just the money, like I'm not letting this much money walk out the door. But how in this 1 year you've become so unhappy with the Brooklyn Nets in any direction that now, beginning a four-year contract, you want to trade. And so... your question was, is this entitlement? And my answer to that, sorry.
Answer that, please.
Well, my answer to that is, that's the NBA. And I'll let you go before I get into my whole players league and player empowerment thing.
No, that's what I was about to talk about. So go ahead. That's exactly what I was, somebody tweeted, or I think somebody tweeted this, is a player now. Oh gosh, I meant to remember his name. Brandon Jennings just talked about how this whole Players League thing is destroying the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And so my question was, yes, is this entitlement? Absolutely, to its fullest. Which, did you see Kendrick Perkins' response?
To Brandon Jennings? No, I didn't. I didn't hear it.
He said, and I like this, he said... he agrees and disagrees.
Mm-hmm.
His agreeing is on the parts where he said every jersey, every hot dog, every cent that is made, yes, there should be some compensation given to players. Right. But as far as their utilizing or using their skills, so to speak, mm-hmm. as a carrot or a extortion tool, that is a problem.
Right.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
There is no more loyalty.
Mm-mm.
There is no more team.
Right.
It feels very me, me, me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not everybody. So I don't want to speak like in general, but there are some players that this is just the vibe that you get from them now. It's very, very self-centered in their interaction and reactions within the league. And it's putting a bad taste in people's mouth about the NBA.
So I got a question for you.
Sure.
Is that inherent in professional sports, right? Because once money becomes involved and this becomes a job and we're not just playing for the love of it, is inherent that I have to focus on me in order to operate with good business, right?
I don't see LeBron, your GOAT, as somebody who operates like that. I don't see Tom Brady.
So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
As somebody who operates like this. You get what I'm mean? Like, so...
I'm with you on Tom Brady. But I think, and this is a criticism that some people, and it's usually people who just dislike or hate LeBron. And I agree with LeBron on this, but I do understand that those people have a point when they say that if LeBron wanted to put a better team around him, he could take less money because he's a billionaire. He could take less money to help them secure better players. Okay. Now, in my opinion, if every team were willing, because these are billionaires who own these teams.
They got way more things than he does, but okay.
Right. And the salary cap isn't hard in the NBA like it is in the NFL. Exactly. So a team like, and this is my argument for people who say that, a team like the Warriors who spends well into the luxury tax, they're able to take advantage of the fact that other owners are cheap and don't want to spend extra money.
Yeah.
And so that's why I agree that LeBron should not take less money. But there is a conversation about that. There are people out there who feel like, well, because LeBron doesn't take less money, then he isn't necessarily a team player like somebody like a Tom Brady who is willing to take less money to put better pieces around.
And I don't even, and while yes, this is the money piece is a huge indicator, I'm not even, I'm talking about just them in general as people. Yeah. LeBron was faithful to a fault to the Cavaliers for so long.
Yeah.
It was not about money for him. Mm-hmm. And so that's the LeBron part I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Even being in LA, they have sucked. Mm-hmm. Other than the part when they was in the bubble.
Yeah.
He could easily be whining and ready to do what KD is doing. I'm ready to go.
I see. Okay. So from that standpoint.
Like, so from that standpoint, I'm saying it's not play every, out his
contract.
Exactly. It's not everybody. And I just don't want that to be I don't want people to feel like the NBA is tainted because of a few people.
Right.
But in this case with KD, unless somebody has called you, which I just can't imagine, has said things that have just totally offended you.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like it's, I hate to bring him into this, but it's some divisiveness that has been infiltrated into this organization from a conspiracy theorist named Kyrie Irving.
Oh, wow.
And I feel like he's kind of rubbed off, you know what I mean, on people. And yeah, so now you kind of got it where people are like, either I love him or I hate him. Because we talked about this before, this whole, why you having practices after practice? Like that just speaks volumes to me about your disrespect for Steve Nash.
Right.
So you clearly have something, and I think it's just rubbed off.
Yeah.
And now you got other people who looking at him sideways. And and then because of entitlement, you feel like you can make this ultimatum because you are the superstar on the team.
Yeah, and we saw James Harden do the same thing. I pray, at least for this part of it, I'm not totally against the whole player empowerment part when we're doing stuff like you got 1 year left and you say, you know what, I'm not coming back, so it's best that you trade me, right? But when you got 4 years left on the deal, 2 years left on the deal, you know what I'm saying? Anything above 2 years, it's like, what are we doing? You signed this contract. Right. And in the past, I've made the argument, well, the owners don't have to honor contracts. They can rip up a contract whenever they feel like it, you know. And so you're asking the players to honor the contract when the owners don't have to. But I think that it's gotten to a point now where it's just too much. Now, one of the things that LeBron used as a tool, right, to get his way, if you want to call it that, is that he wouldn't sign long contracts. He would sign a one-and-one, you know, 1 year deal with a player option to kind of continue, because I think he saw in his first tenure in Cleveland that these owners only care about making money and they will do what's in the best interest of their bottom line. And so if you are a player and the world is looking at you to be loyal to this organization mm-hmm. who isn't trying to be loyal to you, then you have to find a way to hold their feet to the fire.
Yeah.
But then you don't sign a 4-year deal with that team, you know, and that may mean taking a little less money, because I know now with the max contracts, you got to sign the entire extension to get the max amount.
Right.
And you cannot sign it, go in a free agency and still receive a little less money.
Exactly.
But if you sign that deal and then you force your way in the trade, you get all of your money. And so that's what I think that these guys are taking advantage of. They're just saying that, oh, I can get all my money.
Right.
And then still request a trade.
From the beginning. I don't know why he did it anyway. I felt like he'd been ready to go. So why would you? Yeah. But either way, I think the entitlement is definitely a part of this. And I am not against them having rights. I'm a whole person about the voice and having your voice heard and your rights respected. But I just feel like when you're being abusive on the other side, it's just as wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, what's next? Somebody's GOAT. Tom Brady leaves camp for personal reasons.
Yeah.
Does this mess up the team chemistry going into the season? I don't think so.
So what I do know is this is a demonstration. I don't like this dude, but he is about team because he knew this was coming, whatever is going on. And that's why he wanted to make sure he got in and had some time with the team prior to going out. He could have just been out and they wouldn't have said anything. He could have just been gone and never been in camp. And they would have just been like, okay. And then doggone would have started still first week of the season. Cause see, that's Tom Brady, right? But he wanted to develop that chemistry with the team and all of that. I just hope that whatever is going on, I pray that it's well, and that he can get back and that, you know, they can do whatever they need to do in order to be ready for the season to start and not have that be a hiccup for them at the start of the season. Because now I got to kind of be a Bucks fan a little bit because Julio there. So, you know, not because I live here, but because Julio is there, right? Yeah. So, but the one thing I do know is it'll be adjustments for other people. It won't be an adjustment for Tom Brady. He's seasoned. Yeah. He almost 45 years old doing this. It's a ride in the bike for him. It's just, will the other people be able to adjust when he gets back? That's the question.
Well, I think he's done, if I'm not mistaken, all of the off-season stuff with them. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. He made sure he was available this whole time because he knew this was coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think they'll be fine.
Okay.
All right, Vanessa Bryant.
This is sick. This is sick. I was pissed. I ain't gonna lie.
I think we're out. Social media is giving us access to things all around the world. And now things don't even seem real. So things that were like grotesque and, you know, just unsightly or unseemly, they don't even seem real to us anymore. So
we're desensitized.
Yeah, we're desensitized. And so seeing things like someone's body or someone, you know, being hurt really bad, they get videoed and, you know, they get photos taken of them and put on social media. And it's just, it's disgusting. I'm thank God that I never saw one of those pictures because I would have been mortified.
Oh God.
And I believe that not only should Vanessa Bryant have won this case against them, I believe that those guys should have been put, at least have been reprimanded in some way.
For sure.
Whether that be jail time or
like
having their pension snatched.
Something. We're talking about, because we're not telling people what we're talking about.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Vanessa Bryant is suing LA County because the first responders took callous action and shared pictures. First of all, took pictures and shared them of Kobe Bryant and the others' dead remains from the crash site. I don't understand where the thought process was that this was a good idea, or this was something that he was respectful, or something that was right. Like, where in your mind did you say, ooh, it's Kobe Bryant and he's dead. Let me take, what is that? Like, yeah. I cannot imagine how she must feel. And then the part that I didn't write here is, it wasn't just that they took the pictures. They were sharing these pictures out in public. And there are videos of some of them sharing these pictures and laughing. What kind of human being? You're a first responder. You're supposed to be empathetic and compassionate. Not only that, HIPAA should be keeping you from doing stuff like this. Are you not under HIPAA? Like, some kind of regulations should be in place for confidentiality. And it's not just because it's Kobe. I don't care if it was two boo 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 over here who nobody knows. You shouldn't be doing that. Yeah. It's just disrespectful on so many levels. Mm-hmm. And it just bothered me so. So I really just pray for her. I pray for her family, because can we just let all of this go? Like, how do we heal if we keep pulling the scab off?
Right.
Yeah. This was disgusting to me.
It was. I'm praying for Vanessa Bryan, her kids, and their whole family. Like,
yeah, you know, all the families, not just them. The family, because this is all their family's problem. Like, you know, she might be the one that's spearheading this, but this whole thing is just disgusting. And I hope that we do see some reprimand for them. I don't know. I'll never want to see nobody lose their job. However, when you don't do your job.
Some stuff is a fireable offenses.
Oh my God. It's just horrible.
Yeah.
So yeah, this was disgusting.
Yeah, some things people should be fired for. And I might have to send you the video, but I saw something today where a CPS worker told a young woman, a 14-year-old, if I'm not mistaken, that she needs to turn to prostitution in order to take care of herself. You should be fired. You should be fired.
What is happening, Jesus? Like, literally, what is happening? Then the story you told me before we came. What is happening?
I don't know. Lord, pray for it.
We praying for the world.
Yeah.
We have to pray for people in their spirits and their souls, because they're in dark places. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Anyway, okay.
Right. Real roll call.
Yep.
All right, so we're going to use our time on this one. Because when I tell you, real roll call was longer than
Lord, forgive me.
Who's really right last week.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. All right.
We got, we're going to start off with the Aaron Rodgers topic.
Yep.
And for those of you who haven't heard, Aaron Rodgers went on a retreat not long ago. And he used a hallucinogenic drink. And apparently it was approved by the NFL, even though hallucinogens are on the NFL's ban. It's on the NFL's ban substance list. Now, I'm about to start the clock in a second, but I got to ask, is this fair or foul? And go.
So this reminds me a lot of the Shakara Richards, and I don't know the young lady from Russia, 14-year-old from Russia.
Yes.
Their scenario, like, why is it not okay for her to have smoked weed, but you allowing this chick to be whatever? So this feels very much so like that to me. Like, you just said it. Why is it that this is okay? Why are you making an exception for this thing for Aaron Rodgers, when clearly it's on the list that this is not some, not this particular thing, but hallucinogenics are not allowed. So what is the point? I don't like it. It's foul.
I think what we're seeing is that Aaron Rodgers is just like our former president. I don't know that there's anything that's going to bring him down. He can take hallucinogens. He probably does smoke weed. And I ain't judging, but he was immunized from COVID. And so, yeah, he's above the law.
Must be.
Yeah. All right. So the MLB's dream program paying off. Four of five first round picks in this
2022
MLB draft were black.
Yep.
So four of the five first round picks were black.
Yeah.
So do you think that is paying off?
Yes.
And go.
Yes. Absolutely. The statistics that they gave were ridiculous about how much the African Americans, not people of color, African Americans in the major leagues had dropped off since the 80s or the 70s or something. Like, it was this huge number. And so to see four of five of the first ones picked to be, that is huge. So absolutely, this dream program, I love it. I'm so happy they're doing it.
So I'm happy that they're doing it as well. One of the things I also think, and I hate to even bring this up because I feel like it's kind of negative in a way, but I feel like that NFL's concussion issue is also a product of this, because I think that a lot of players are now turning away from football and going to other sports like basketball and baseball. And so another thing I want to say is shout out to Chris Eileen. Chris Eileen from the University of Maryland, one of my boys, Carl, his little cousin, was just drafted by the Dodgers in this MLB draft. So shout out to Chris.
Or congratulations, sir.
As he's affectionately known in College Park, Bubba.
I'm sure he would appreciate if you had just left it at Chris.
I know. Nah, but they call him that, so I got to get it.
All right. Look. All right, Jethro. Look, no problem.
Right. On to the real.
Yeah.
All right. So this On to the Real is a duel On to the Real.
A little different too. Yeah.
A little different. I think. Yeah. I don't think that we have many where we see someone walking out of the door. No. And it's not even about what they're doing or what they will be doing after sport. It's just the fact of celebrating them as both of these women.
Yes.
Are ending their storied careers, prolific both on the top career. Of their games. Both could be considered, you know what I'm saying, the best in their games.
Absolutely.
And so Serena Williams and Sylvia Fowles are both retiring from their respective sports, Serena from tennis and Sylvia Fowles from the WNBA. And so... Yeah. I just think that I don't want to separate them, but thinking about when I was in high school and the first time I saw Serena playing against Venus in Wimbledon, I want to say this had to be like 99, maybe 2000. And I'm just seeing these two black women in the game of tennis where I had never really paid much attention to it. Mm-hmm. And now I'm glued to the TV because I want to see what happens, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
And for all of this time to have passed, because that was like 99, 2000, like I said, and now it's 2022.
Yeah.
And for her to have done all that she's done in this time frame, it makes me realize how old I am. And two,
okay, we won't go there.
And two, it's just amazing to think about for all of that time, you know, and all that she's done in that amount of time.
Listen, SA says this all the time, that Serena, hands down, you can't have an argument with her, that Serena is the best athlete of all times.
Yeah.
And a lot of this she bases obviously on the fact that she's won like 20 something 20-something Grand Slams. Mm-hmm. Who gonna catch that, right? So, Serena, it was a shock to see that she was retiring, but I know she's had a couple of these last couple of rounds of goals. She's been suffering from some injuries that she just and you know, Olympia's getting older, and I know she wants to do more from that perspective of being her mom. So I salute both of these women. I actually made a point of watching Sylvia Fowles' last game today on purpose. And they just kept talking about how they didn't talk about her from her talent. They talked about her from her character.
Yeah.
And they talked about what an amazing person she is and how great she's been. And yes, she's got numbers. We're not going to diminish that. She's probably one of the best to ever do it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just a real, it feels like, I'll tell you what it feels like. I watch these TikTok videos all the time and cry with these officers, whether it's a canine or a human, who are at the end of their watch.
Yeah.
And it feels very much so like the end of their watch for me. And so kudos to both of these amazing Black women. I can't wait to see what they do next. The sky's the limit. For both of them, I certainly hope that Sylvia Fowles finds her way into coaching. That's what I hope.
I
hope she does, but because of her character, because of her knowledge.
I want some of these young ladies, and I say young ladies, and I use that loosely. I want some of these young ladies to find their way into executive roles.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's true. That's true, but I feel like she's got the spirit.
Yeah, of a coach.
Of a coach.
Yeah. I said the same thing about Cynthia Cooper when she was playing.
Exactly. Like, some of them, you can just tell. Like, they just got it in them. Like, some of them, I see, like, Sue Bird.
Yeah.
No, man, you can't be nobody's coach when you're done. Yeah. But you could go be an executive somewhere, right? I don't see her having that kind of, you know what I mean? Like, no, that'll be a problem. So, because she nasty. So I wish both of them the best. We're going to miss seeing them. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's going to be I'm a huge tennis fan because I played tennis in high school. And and so I've been a tennis fan before Venus and Serena, but it'll definitely feel different not having a Serena Williams. It felt different when there wasn't a Venus. Venus ain't really, you know what I mean? Like, hadn't been in that. So, but I'm glad we have a Coco Gauff.
Right.
And some of these other young ladies who are making their way up through the ranks. So,
Yeah. Shout out to them.
Absolutely.
Feel good final thought?
Yeah.
Now, you had mentioned this and I saw the clip. And I have remarked at this young man because I think about when I played baseball and all of the times that I got hit by a pitch, how I wanted to go and fight, because getting hit by pitches,
it's painful.
It's painful and it doesn't feel good. And you feel like they did it on purpose.
Yeah, yeah.
And so to see this young man get hit by a pitch.
In the head.
Got hit in the head by the pitch. And he saw the pitcher upset by it and being upset with himself by doing something like this. When he got to first base, he took off his helmet, laid it down to the side, and walked over to console the pitcher who had just hit him by a pitch.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, Lord, I still got some work to do. No, but I thought this was a great show of sportsmanship. I thought this was a great show of, you know, that there is still some humanity left in this world. You know, when we think about some of the things that we see, some of the things that we have seen. and we wonder where humanity is. It's still here, still alive, yeah. And real, you know. And so I love seeing and hearing stories like this.
Absolutely. It is, not only am I impressed with just as a human being that you got outside of yourself to see somebody else in their mind, even though you had, just, I mean, people was tending to you because you was on the ground, like you hit, yeah. hit you in the head and then you fell. So that, you know, it was this big, big deal, right? Of you being on the ground. So the fact that when you got to first base and you looked at another human being and you saw the pain that they were experiencing, and as a 14-year-old, to have the empathy and compassion, and in the middle of a competitive game, yeah. to say, I don't even care what it looked like to anybody. I got to go console this person that's a stranger to me, even that part, right? Because y'all from two different states. This stranger to me, but he's a human being and he's hurting. Mm-hmm. And I need him to know that I'm okay. And that he can be okay, was probably in the top five for me of good sportsmanship that I've seen ever.
Yeah.
Period. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. He was amazing. Both of them, because even the pitcher, to be in that much of a state, you didn't do it on purpose, clearly. So to be in that much of a state about what you did. And so the backstory too is this picture is a really big boy. Mm-hmm. And so he already has a stigma attached to him as a really big boy. And so for him to have this kind of allowing himself to feel the way that he felt and being so open out in the open with his feelings,
right.
Kudos to both of them. I love
yeah.
it. Love it.
Yeah, me too. Shout out to them both.
Yes.
I didn't even think about that part of it, but you know, he could have, you know, tried to be macho and not apologetic.
He's a big boy. Like exactly. Yeah, yeah. He's a big boy. I mean, people probably look at him and think, oh, he tough, he bad, he big. You know what I'm saying? And so for him to still show his vulnerable side and be like, no, but this affected me. I love it. For kudos to both of them. And I just, the sky, they're going to do great things because they have beautiful spirits.
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right, show picks. Scott, what you watching?
Okay. So I started watching this show yesterday, Instant Dream Home on Netflix, because I'm a HGTV.
Yeah.
Freak.
And that, it had the feel of the HGTV.
It does. Well, yeah. No, because it's crazy. Because this show, the premise is you have an accomplice and they got to redo a house in 12 hours. Mm-hmm. So episode 5, I'm watching, I binge watch, I get to episode 5. I'm like, that's Chevy. So Alfred Brooks, shout out to Alfred Brooks. Alfred Chevy Brooks is a teacher at Charles Drew High School in Atlanta. He's also a friend of Cord's.
Oh wow, okay.
When we were attempting to start a podcast, Chevy was on that podcast with Cord and Steve.
Okay, full circle moment. Yes. Yep.
So
I know I had heard the name before, but I couldn't.
And he also ran for District 6 for Fulton County.
Okay.
For the commissioner's seat. So I was like, oh, that's Chevy. So it was really cool to see them redo his house.
Yeah. I'm gonna have to specifically go to that episode. And watch.
I think it's episode 5. I'm pretty sure it's episode 5. And it's, Alfred Brooks. So that was really cool to see somebody I actually know that their house redone, and they did a dope job of doing their house. So that, and then Uncoupled, which is Neil Patrick Harris and my girl Tisha Camp. When I tell you, it is hilarious.
Yeah.
It is hilarious.
It's a movie?
No, it's a series.
Okay.
It is a series.
I'm a Neil,
of course,
fan,
Neil so Patrick Harris is he's a gay man in the series who's mm-hmm. dumped by his partner mm-hmm. of 17 years. Oh, it's hilarious.
I'm about to check that out.
What you watching?
So I actually have not watched this yet, but I'm gonna watch it by the time I will have watched it by the time it airs. So I can't say how it is yet, but I've heard so much about this show and from its first season that I'm gonna go ahead and me and Ronnie gonna binge season one and get caught up so we can see season two, episode one. Okay. But Power Book Three, mm-hmm. The way that Power ended, the first iteration of it, the way that it ended kind of left a little bit to be desired. But people have been talking about how good this story is. It's kind of one of those prequel stories.
Oh, goes back to it
goes before. Back.
Okay.
Yeah. So everyone's talked about how good the writing is on this one. So
okay.
I'm gonna have to check this one out. So Power Book Three, Raising Canaan.
Yes. I saw that season two is about to come out or something. Yeah, I saw that. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, that's it for me. We are at the end of 173 Step.
Yes.
And for those of you out there who would like to get in contact with us, whether that be to be on the show or you just got some feedback that you want to give us, you can reach out to us several different ways. One being our email address, and that's field2therealpodcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up in the Twitter sphere at field2therealp1. Our IG is at field2therealpodcast. You can reach out to us there or respond to some of the content we post. And if you want to get us on Facebook or go to our YouTube page, you can go to right there where Stephanie is pointing. Field to the Real Podcast. That's with T-O and not the number two. You can search that, find us on Facebook, find us on YouTube. And if, you know, well, if you're listening, you probably found us on our streaming platform already. So, but if you are looking at us on YouTube, we do have an audio version of this podcast that you can go to on all streaming platforms, all DSPs to find us. And you would type in the same thing, Field to the Real Podcast. For some reason, I think Spotify is kind of hating on us. Maybe it's because I talk bad about them. And so when you search our name, it doesn't just pop up. So,
interesting. Okay.
In that case, I would say go listen to us on Apple Podcasts.
It's other ways.
There's ways to find us. I think if you dig around a little bit through sports podcasts, you'll see us pop up. So, we thank you guys for tuning in and listening to us.
We're so happy to be back.
Yes, yes, we will see you guys. Talk to you guys, hear you guys next week. We are out of here for 173. Peace.
Peace. Oh,
that thing is disappearing.
Disappearing. I did it sideways, trying to make it not look like.
Okay. No, but the finger that stayed up is the index. So
you ain't got to worry about. At least I'm not shooting birds. Thank you.